Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, today, my friends, I've got 10 things on my mind, and I hope I can get some of them out here. It's kind of a scatterbrain way to approach a radio show. And for most of you who don't know this, is that I don't write these radio shows. I just do them. And most of the time, I've got something on my mind that it's a topic I want to get into, and I just rattle through it. Like today, though, I've got multiple topics. It's just my brain is filled with stuff, and I don't know and have not thought about how to tie them all together yet. So I apologize if it's a little disjointed, but sometimes that's the way life is, a little disjointed. So let's start at the top. I closed another deal yesterday, another $9,000 a month into my life. I was listening to one of my radio shows, and you should look this one up. If you haven't heard this one, you should go to my website or go on YouTube and look up the radio show called Chunking Your Way to Millionaire, where I describe how I started with nothing and bought one little deal, deal after deal after deal, and then got bigger and larger and more deals and larger deals and so on and so forth, all the way up to being very successful. But the thought was, yesterday, as I closed this deal, I'm throwing another $9,000 a month of income on top of what I already have, which is quite large. To not sound like I'm bragging, because that's really not what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to make a point, is that I don't need any more income. I absolutely have more income than I really have a need for. I can have whatever I want, do whatever I want, go wherever I want, and have plenty of money to do it. Say, well, then why did you buy another property then? Well, because it's just an approach to life. It has to do with having a system that you live by. And my system is I've always lived on less than what I made. And I guess the system started way back at the beginning where I lived on half of what I made. I took the other half and saved it, and I invested. And then each year, because I had that money to invest, I made more money the next year. And because I made more money, I could live on half of the more money and still have more money saved each year than we did the year before, because half of more is still more. And I'd continue to do that till I got to the point where I couldn't even live on half of the money I was making. It was too much. So I started wasting money. So I would spend half of it and started doing crazy stuff. Like I used to take, 20, 30, 40 people out to dinner every week just as a way to spend the money, just to show that I had no need for it. I got tired of doing that because people started taking advantage of it, and it really was no longer any fun. It was fun when started, but at the end it wasn't, so I stopped doing that. So the bottom line was I had to learn to live on only 25% of what I made because it was too much to spend. I know that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? It's backwards what most people's problems are. And it's not really a problem. I'm not complaining about it. What I'm saying is that I was able, and I am still able, to save more money each year than what I've saved in the past and still live at a higher standard of living. And it's all because of this simple little system I started when I was like 18 years old. Live on half of what you make, save the other part. Buy investments, make more the next year. Now I've made more money every year. So now I'm at the point where I don't even spend half. I might spend 10% of what I make. Because as you make more and more and more and more and more money, you have a less need. I mean, even if you live extravagantly, like I'm living extravagantly right now, you're spending a very, very small amount of money comparative to what you're earning at some point. Now, you got to understand, I've been doing this for 30 years. I own, I don't even know how many companies anymore right now. I'm just going to guess and say I own 25 or 30 different companies. Each company makes me money. I really should nail that down. I guess it's because there's no need to count. There's an old saying, another just rant I remember, is that there'll be time for counting when the dealing's done. So maybe when I'm dead, somebody will sit down and count how many companies I own and how much stuff I have and what I do. But right now it's really irrelevant because I'm going to do more. Why am I going to do more? Because that's the system. So I closed this new deal yesterday. Brings another $9,000 a month. Some people would love to make $9,000 a month. Some people have never seen $9,000 a month. And to me, it's nothing. It's like buying one more rent house when I bought one more rent house when I was young, and I went from making $200 a month to $400 a month. I mean, it's just, it's inconsequential, the 9,000 is, realistically. But the system is not inconsequential. The system works. And if you work the system, then you'll become successful and you eventually become very rich. So that was on my mind, you know, as I close this deal. And what's funny is every time I close another deal, I tell myself, that's really all I need. I'm not going to do any more of this. And then my wife comes to me with an apartment complex she wants to buy. And then a broker brings me another deal that looks good that I want to buy. And you go, oh my gosh, I guess we'll just keep buying stuff. And you keep buying stuff, you keep making more money. So it's just, it's bizarre concept. And over the last couple of days, I've been busy. I've decided to splurge and replace all my equipment, construction equipment, tools, woodworking tools, that, you know, table saw, band saw, drill press, joiner, planer, that kind of stuff, and go from 110 or 115 amp regular size tools that the average person would use to industrial size tools that are 230, 240 volts. And so I needed to have 240 put into my garage. I had one 240 plug that I used for a welder, but I need it for all my tools. So I spent like $18,000 to have them put this stuff in. And they sent four electricians out to work for 3 days. That's how much work it took to redo this, to put in new panels, because the panel didn't have enough juice for it, and put in these plugs. And we put in some new lighting and some extra fixtures and stuff here and there. So the place is really nice, much nicer. But, you know, that was just, I did it for me. It was just a toy. That's my kind of toy. So spending $18,000 plus on a toy. And that's not counting the tools. That's just the electrical upgrade. Now the tools, you know, are going to be probably that same amount or more. And again, that's nothing. That's about a week's, not even a week's worth of income. That might be a day's worth of income for me. So it's nothing. I don't want you to get this idea that I'm splurging and spending this. I'm spending an infinitesimal amount of money compared to my income. But for me, it's going to make life just that much more fun. And while these people were here, it was interesting because one of the guys knew who I was. And he recognized me. And so he was asking questions while he was here. And I don't give seminars in public. I just don't do that. Maybe if I'm in a bar, I might give you some insight into life. But normally, unless people are paying me, I'm not talking to them. Not because I don't like talking to people. I'd love to. But it's because it sounds arrogant when you start telling people stuff you know and you're in public. Now, when you're on the radio, you guys expect me to know something or you wouldn't listen to me. You're listening to me because you want to, not because I'm pontificating to you. You can turn me off right now, in fact. So these guys are asking me questions, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, okay, how old are these guys? And one kid was only 21 years old, and the other guys were everything probably into their mid-30s. And I'm thinking, wow, just think about that. Being back to that part where you're working as a laborer. I've done it. You're making hourly wage. You're going to work, and you're working. And you're working with other people, and you have a boss, and then you have a boss's boss, and you have to show up at a certain time and do things, and I'm just sitting there having fun, and these guys are just looking at me like, my God. First of all, again, I live in a 16,000-square-foot house. I have a 20-car garage. And they're looking at this like, what in the heck is going on here? We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought three brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have three of her inherited properties and then three properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into three, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Got to go get educated. And That's the first thing you're going to have to do if you're going to decide to be in real estate investing. You're going to have to get some information. Now, I saw a program that teaches all that stuff, but even without my program, you're going to need to get some information. If you do take my program, you're going to have to study the information. It won't do any good that it's just there. If you don't use it, you have to utilize the information. And that's what I was trying to explain to this guy. He's going, well, I just don't know what to do. What do I do? I go, well, what you have to do is go to my website and study the free information. Then if that interests you enough, then you go to a free class somewhere. Or join up and study the information online. But you've got to have to do something. And the idea that these guys are so far away from where they see me at. So they're here and they see my house, they see my yard, they see my garage, they see my toys, all my stuff. And they're seeing all that and going, man, I've heard you on the radio. Now I know you're real. This is all real. And then they start going, boy, I want to be where you're at someday. And again, what they want is give me that secret. What can I do? Just what switch do I flip? And the switch is not a switch that you flip on the side of a wall like an electrician puts in your house. And that's what they're doing, is putting in electrical stuff for me. I said, you have to learn how to switch your brain from thinking like a poor person to thinking like a rich person, or thinking like a poor person to thinking like a soon-to-be rich person. You have to change the way you see the world. And if you can't change the way you see the world, and start studying those things that will make you change the way you see the world, you're not going to get there. There's no secret bullet, you know, there's no secret medicine, there's no secret anything to it. You just have to go and know what you're doing, understand how to make the right decisions, and then start making some. But that takes effort. It's like losing weight. You can read all the books you want on losing weight, but you're not going to start losing weight until you stop eating. Right? It takes action. So to get in shape, you're going to have to exercise, you're going to have to diet. To get rich, you're going to have to save money and invest. It's a two-prong situation in either case. It's not one. And there's no quick, simple, easy way to get a lot of results. It's step by step by step. Now, in both cases, both financially and physically, getting in shape financially or physically is exponentially easier. In other words, the better shape you're in, the harder you can work out, the better shape you can get in. Same thing with money. The more money you have, the more you have to invest, the more you can invest, and the more money you can make, and exponentially that grows. But those are both mindsets. You have to understand that. So as I was, you know, trying to share some of this insight with these young kids, later that night, we found out that Melissa's son is going to buy a house. And so he's contacted me and asking me all this stuff about buying a house. And he came up with this just a typical example. He said, I can get a loan with $7,000 down and 3% interest, or I can get a loan for 4.25% interest, but with zero down on a first-time homeowner's loan. Which one should I do? And I said, without a doubt, take the one for nothing down. Now, that goes against everything you were ever taught, which is don't go into debt, put as much down as you can to lower your payment. And all that is garbage. I said, what you need to do is take the one with nothing down, buy this house, and then either turn this house into a rent house or take the $7,000 you would have put down and go buy yourself another house to be a rent house. Or maybe a duplex. And the guy got excited as heck. He goes, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to start building wealth. He's known me now. I've been with his mother for 12 years. So he's known me for 12 years. He's seen what I've done. And he wants some of it now. Of course, he's in his 30s. His sister, she and her boyfriend just bought themselves a house. And they're fixing it all up. So it's their first house. So it's good to see that two of our young kids are both in their 30s and now buying houses. Now, my daughter is, she's into bodybuilding, and she wants to be a pro bodybuilder, and she's dating and living with now. She moved in with him recently, a pro bodybuilder. He is a pro. And so when you're into bodies, you're not into money. Money means nothing to you. You just want to look better. You want to be the best. I know when I was a bodybuilder, it was hard for me to really care about much of anything else, but that's what she's into. And someday she'll wake up and go, maybe I should have listened to the old man. But you can't take these kids and make them. You can lead a horse to water, you can't make it drink. You can lead a kid to information, but you can't make them drink it. You can't make them want it. You can't make them want to be successful. It's only when they get to that point in life, like the son who's buying the house now has a daughter. She's like 12 years old. And, you know, he's getting to that point where he's got those responsibilities and he's thinking about the future and so on and so forth. And the other daughter's buying a house with her boyfriend. She's thinking about having a child, and so they're thinking about settling down. So, you know, you see these people get into their 30s and they start thinking about this stuff, right? But like I was saying before we went to break, is that, but the sad part is not them. That's exciting. They're young, and, you know, like I said, anybody can retire in 2 to 5 years. I can retire anybody in 2 to 5 years if they would do exactly what I told them to do. Now, that's not very likely they'll do exactly what I tell them, but if I were in their situation, if I took over their situation, I could retire them in 2 to 5 years. And what really is sad to me, and this is one of the things that was on my brain, and like I said, I've got all these things bouncing around inside of my brain right now that I just want to tackle. So this is a big one. I think I'm going to hold this one over to the break. I don't want to get right in the middle of it. Now, we'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the 5 ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single-family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today I'm just bouncing around on topics, to be honest with you. I just got so many different things in my head. I wanted to clear out some of the cobwebs. One of the things I wanted to talk about was who I really feel sadly for. And it's not the young kids that ask me questions. It's not that they're still working hard and making life's decisions. They're young. They'll get over it. It's old people. Have you ever met old people that believe everything's a scam? That everything's a sham, everything is a ripoff, everything is a sales pitch. Now, I laugh tongue-in-cheek because I'm really kind of that kind of skeptic myself. One of the shows I used to watch on TV, they had a thing where they say, well, that's the way they get you. And that guy would say it about everything, that's the way they get you. And really, that's the way I thought about stuff too, is that's the way they'll get you. There's where the sales pitch is, there's where the con is, there's where the ripoff is. The difference is in my life now that I'm so wealthy, I look at them and I see, okay, yep, that's what they're going to do. That's how they're going to get me. Oh, they got me. Okay, I can afford it. No big deal. But old people get really sour. And what's really sad is that some people get wrapped up in this Dave Ramsey belief system that, you know, and the thing about Dave Ramsey was he lost all of his money in real estate because he did stupid stuff that I've never done and I teach people not to do, but he did it. And he lost all of his money. So now he tells people, don't do real estate the way I do it. Don't do it with debt. He says, you know, pay cash, buy one house, and that's your life savings. Dumb as a rock. But they get wrapped up in this frugalness, and they get wrapped up in this cheapness, and they get wrapped up in this hard work. And if it's not hard work, then it's not real, and there's no such thing as get rich quick, when the reality is there's no such thing as get rich slow. To get rich, you have to move quick. You can't move slow and get, because you'll be dead before you're rich, right? But they have this real negative approach to life, and you see people like that all the time that, you know, won't take action on something like this type of a program because to them it's got to be a scam. Everything's a scam. And granted, there's been Dave Delgado, Robert Allen, Jeff McCone, Tommy Vu, the Milans, Ron LeGrand, Carlin Cheese, Robert Kiyosaki, Donald Trump even had a seminar program that he got sued on. In fact, the New York Attorney General, I think, actually fined him for it. So there are a lot of these courses out there that are a sham. There's no doubt in my mind that that's true. But that's sad. Because after you go and you get shammed or scammed once or twice in life, then fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And you become really sour to the possibilities in life. And that's what's really sad. I have a member right now that I'm going to be dealing with. And you could just feel when this guy sends you an email that the whole world is against him. He feels like everything is a ripoff. And when you got a program like mine with like 50,000 clients, and let's say 49,990 of them are extremely happy, and 49,000 of them have made a lot of money, and then you got 10 unhappy people. And to be one of those unhappy people, after you've got 49,900 that are happy, and you get the president of the company talking to you about it, you would think you'd go, wow, this guy actually talked to me. And that's what most people, if there's, you know, stuff goes wrong in every business, right? Business is an opportunity to fix stuff that goes wrong to make your customer happy. When something goes wrong and you can fix it, if it's possible to fix it or at least care enough to try, that's an opportunity to build a bond with the customer. And I've always done that. I've always tried to do it. So I don't mind trying to fix things. But you can just sometimes sense that people just, they almost don't even want you to fix it. They want something to complain about. They need something to complain about. They need to feel like the world is on them and trying to take them down. And that's really a sad thing, because these are unhappy people. In fact, they're miserable. And that kind of a person becomes a challenge to themselves. Yeah, they have challenges to us too. Many people I've offered to give them their money back, just because it was easier for both of us just to say, this program doesn't work for you because you won't work the program. And a lot of people are not willing to work the program. They just want there to be some magic thing. We touch them with a, you know, a magic wand and boom, all of a sudden they're rich. It just doesn't work that way. You got to take and study, and you've got to do the stuff that we talk about doing to make it work. And if you're not willing to do that, then it's not going to work for you. But that's not really, that's a tangent. That's not even where I was going. Where I'm going is, how many of you out there are just miserable? You're old. You're worn out. Everything you tried to be successful didn't work. And now you're just unhappy. I wish I could do something to help those kinds of people get out of that misery. I really do. Because it's just when you meet these people, and for me, I'm like lucky as can be. I mean, my gosh, who got me to read a book when I was a young kid that changed my life? I don't know. My life was miserable when I was a kid. I came from terrible parents, terrible childhood, fat, ugly little kid, unathletic, no friends. My life was terrible. Now my life is wonderful. How did it happen? I picked up a book and read a book that changed my point of view. And that change in point of view led me to another book, which changed my point of view a little more. And that book led me to another book. And on and on and on, until I had internally converted my point of view in life completely around. Totally different. To where I started enjoying life and living life and being happy and looking forward to life, as opposed to hating life. Thinking life was out to get me, that it was unfair. Why were they born cute and in shape? And why was I born fat and ugly? Man, that bugged the crap out of me. It really did. Just didn't seem fair. And whether you believe it or not, you know, you say there's racial prejudice. No, there's cuteness prejudice. You give me a black little kid that's beautiful, and people are going to like him or her. You give me a fat little white kid with a flat top haircut and Coke bottle glasses, and no one's going to want to play with this kid. You're going to have to tie a pork chop around his neck to get the dog to play with him. The prejudice in this world is by how you look, more than almost anything else. So yes, race does have prejudice, but so does just being ugly and fat and so forth. But now that I'm not fat anymore, now that I'm ripped to shreds, even at 65 years of age, I look at fat people and I look at them now, and I used to be discussing in my brain going, why are you that way when it's so easy to change? And I had that weird, then one day I woke up and said, you know, why are you feeling that way, Dell? What you should be feeling right now is, my gosh, I feel sorry for them. That they don't know they can change, or they don't know how easy it is to change. Or, let's be clear, even if they don't even know that they should want to change. You know, they say, well, we're fat-shaming people nowadays. Yeah, they fat-shamed me when I was a kid and made me lose weight. So maybe fat-shaming is not as bad as it as people want to make it out to be. You know, you can't shame anybody for anything anymore. It's just become just the cancel culture of the world has gotten to where you can't say anything. But the bottom line is, maybe that was the stimulus that changed my life, to lose the weight, to get in shape. And that built character, and that built the ability to formulate thoughts and processes and accomplish things. And those thoughts and processes allowed me to accomplish my financial goals in life. Maybe all of that occurred because I was fat, ugly, and had Coke bottle glasses. But how do you know? You really don't, do you? You just take what life gives you. So what I would say is, you don't drive a car looking in your rearview mirror. You drive the car looking out the front. And what I think you need to do is you look out the front. I'm 65 years old. I've almost died three times. I've been in the hospital as almost dead three times. And if I keep my life looking at that stuff, my life would be miserable. What do I look at? I look at, boy, what am I going to do with the next 20 or 30 years of my life? I'm physically fit. I'm healthy. I've got money. I've got nothing but good stuff to look forward to. Now, what do you do with that? We'll take a short break, come back and answer the question.
Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is, you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy's going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today, we've been all over the place, quite honestly. And we've come full circle here to, all right, what do we do now? And I'm sitting here at an interesting point in my life that for my entire life, I've always lived by the assumption that I would be dead by age 65. Why? Because my father, my grandfather, and my great-grandfather all died by the time they were 65 years old. So I saw that it's in my genes, my genetics, right? Now, what I don't know about that, and by the way, like I said, I've almost been dead three times, three different things I almost died from. So maybe I should have been. Maybe modern science is better, medical science is better than it was for my dad, my grandfather, or my great-grandfather. But now that I made it past 65, and I've lost about 40 pounds, I'm in great shape again, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I feel great. I don't see, you know, I could get hit with a car or something, but You know, I could get cancer again. Cancer could come back again. I'm sure there's something that could go wrong with me and just take me down like that. I mean, my intestines ruptured on me and gave me sepsis. I almost died from that. So there are those things that can just instantly pop up and kill you. But other than that morbid thought process I just took you through, it's that you don't know how long you're going to live. And so when you don't really know how long you're going to live, you say, well, how do you plan? You know, when I thought I was going to die by 65, it was very simple to make decisions. I've got to do this now, ASAP, because I'm going to be dead, and I need to get it done. But then by the time I'm 65 years old, I've done everything I want to do. I have all the money I wanted to have. I have the family I wanted to have. I have all, you know, anything and everything that I had goals for in life, I have accomplished. So what do you do? It's an interesting place to be that there's really no goals anymore. So you have to make up goals. And goals get to be bigger and better, faster and more, as opposed to just. You know, if I could just do this. Well, now I've gone past just by 10 times. Now it's like, well, how about 100 times? And you start making these bigger and better and faster and more type goals for your life. But there's really no reason to do it. There's really nothing to get you there except one. And I think that as living beings, we have to have goals. Just something I believe. I believe we have to have something to be striving for to give life some meaning. Could be anything. You know, if I had enough time, I would go back to learning to play the guitar again. And I gave that up long time ago because I just didn't have enough time to give to it, to make it worthwhile, to where it was enjoyable. I've got my train set for my winter hobby coming up, so I'm rebuilding my train layout. That one's going to take just tons of time. I'm redoing my shop right now. That one's taking tons of time. For the first 6 months of this year, from like February through maybe just 8 months, I was redoing my yard because we had a giant freeze here in Houston. It killed everything. I mean, it wasn't just that it froze. It stayed frozen for like 5 days and just killed everything. I spent over $100,000 in plants just to replant my yard. I lost like 8 or 9 palm trees, and I only replaced like 4 because of just, they were just so expensive and didn't really see the need for them, quite honestly. But the point I'm making is I get up every day, and I even make myself get up at like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. I set the alarm and get up because I'm so busy all day long. I got stuff to do. I've got 20 different guns and I want to shoot them all. And you know, you go to the range and you only got an hour at the range. And so, you know, you pick 2 or maybe 3 to shoot, you know, and then you go back another day. You got to clean them and just all these different things, toys to play with, toys, toys, toys. I've got motor vehicles to play with, toys, 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 toys. But what I'm trying to say is that there is just tons of stuff to do. Now, why do I bring this up? Because it's another one of my pet peeves. Some guy that used to work for me is now doing radio shows, and he's got this thing. He says, well, I think retiring is terrible. I don't want to retire. That's why I work all the time. Yeah. That's BS. You know, there is no such thing as having nothing to do. There's nothing. If you're working all the time, it's because you want to be working all the time. And when you get free, what happens is your mind is now vacant enough to go figure out something else you want to do. So many things you've never done just simply because you hadn't had enough time to think about wanting to do them. By retiring, what happened to me, and I retired at 34 years of age, which meant I never went back to corporate America and worked for someone else ever again. At 34 years of age when I retired, is all of a sudden I had all this extra time on my hands. And what it did was it created an opportunity to be creative. And the creativity allowed me to be much better at real estate investing, much better at bodybuilding, much better at many things I wanted to do because I had the time to be creative. That, my friends, if nothing else, that's enough reason to become financially free. Buy your time back from corporate America. have enough time to get up for a whole day and think. I remember having only one day off a week, not even having enough time to do my laundry. Then going to 4 days a week off, and 6 and 7, and having all the time in the world. Understanding then that it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.